news from across the country and around the world. The World Tonight with Bob Breckenridge on AM 77 CHQR.
As we roll along here, Rob Breckenridge with you on a Wednesday evening. Still to come on the program, Duff Conacher with Democracy Watch. Also, Dr. Gabriel Barke, professor of archaeology at Bar-Ilan University in Jerusalem, is going to be giving a speech tomorrow here in Calgary. We're going to talk about the Temple Mount, its significance to humanity, its significance to Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and what's happening to it at present. So we'll get to that in the next hour as well. So as we say, we got a lot to get to on the program tonight. Right now, they'll want to talk about freedom of speech in a broad sort of sense. Certainly the cartoon controversy has highlighted many of these issues. Another development as of late has added another wrinkle to this discussion, and it concerns a court decision in Austria. A notorious Holocaust denier who's seemingly since recanted some of his views has been sentenced nonetheless to 3 years in prison. David Irving is his name. The charges stem from a couple of speeches he gave back in 1989. Now, this is in Austria, which is obviously much closer to ground zero, as it were. But still, here is someone going to prison for words uttered. So, where are the boundaries of freedom of speech? Where should they be? Of course, Holocaust denial is also a crime here in Canada. Well, joining us to talk about all of this, we are pleased to welcome back to the program. Always enjoy speaking with our next guest, Burl Wiseman. He's president of the Institute for Public Affairs of Montreal. Burl, good to talk to you again. Welcome back to the show.
Rob, good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Now, as I understand it too, Burl, you're now some of the time, part-time, on this side of the microphone. You're doing a talk show gig out there at one of our chorus affiliates in Montreal.
Yes, I am. Sundays between noon to 2, we've got a show called The Last Angry Man, and I did not pick that title.
Okay. How are you enjoying that so far?
Very much, very much. Right? We get to tackle a whole range of issues. We got people from all over the world that we have as guests, and it's a sort of news magazine format.
Well, welcome to the world of talk radio, Burl. Although
I found out that for every hour that we all put into that to each show, the public should know there's 5 hours of work for every hour that goes behind it.
Exactly. Well, that's usually, I put it off to my producers, but it gets done. Let's talk about, first of all, the David Irving trial here, because as odious as it would seem to want to speak out on this guy's behalf, I think the interests of freedom compel it. Burl, what about that conundrum and how you face it?
No question. You put it very well. And I've written a piece called The David Irving Prosecution, The Perils of Divisible Freedoms, mirroring what we seek to destroy. It's on CanadaFreePress.com right now. Here's the problem. We've been talking to these Islamic fanatics and telling them, look, we're the West. You come here for economic benefits. You've got to accept our Western pluralism and our Western liberalism. That's the deal. We only owe you, as we owe every citizen, equality of opportunity, equality of fairness, the equity of just consideration. We don't have to pander to your ethnic particularities. And in defending that, sometimes we have to defend the most egregiously repugnant people, because it is the principle of that freedom of expression that is more important than the person, save for one case, of course, incitement to violence. Mm-hmm. Hate laws really have no place in the books of free societies, because you can't restrict freedom of expression and call yourself a free society. Now, this fellow Irving is as repugnant, as egregious as he may be. He at one point said that only 30,000 Jews died in the Holocaust. He came to Hitler's defense. He never was a violent speechifier. He never, as your previous guest said, he never walked around with signs saying, off with their heads or freedom be damned. And as you said, in the libel suit that he faced 6 years ago, he lost the libel suit but also recanted his views. And this speech that he made, by the way, was rather recent, and he was arrested in Austria for making the speech because Austria and 10 other countries, actually have specific hate laws against anybody who says anything in terms of denying the Nazi Holocaust or their crimes or anything else. Canada is not one of them, by the way. Neither is France, neither is Great Britain, neither is America. These are 11 countries, European countries. Belgium is one. France is another. Where you can't. It's political correctness brought to an almost insane degree to satisfy, in this case, one group. Now, obviously, the Holocaust was a singularly horrid crime in human history. But even then, if it is to have any meaning as living testimony today for those millions who died, it is that no individual shall be persecuted or prosecuted for individual beliefs if he is not or she is not propagating violence. That's the whole point of the matter.
What's different about our laws here? We have more generalized hate laws, which would encompass, I suppose, Holocaust denial. It's not as specific here.
It's not as specific. It's not as severe in its penalties. This process in Austria was very, very quick.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't say things, and the problem with not saying things is we can't tell Muslims or, to use the Jim Woolsey formulation, Islamist fanatics, that you can't impose your views on us as far as freedom of expression goes, and then we kowtow to them, and then we're saying, well, but we're going to impose it for other groups. Because if you're going to respect the particularities of other groups, the sensitivities of other groups, then the Islamists are going to say, well, what's wrong with us? We've got the same feelings, even though we might not have gone through the same Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the great problem. Hate laws of such a nature really have no place in our books. We've got enough laws to deal with incitement to violence. We cannot. It is axiomatic that we must defend the rights of anyone to utter the same views on any matter they so choose if we're fighting this world struggle, which we are right now, for the hearts and minds of billions, and trying to make them understand our way of life, which is a free way of life. Political correctness has reached to such insane levels that, you know, it hasn't gotten as bad under this government as it was under Martin, when Martin called Gaddafi a man with a philosophical bent of mind when he was negotiating for oil leases.
Yeah.
But we've had our defense minister, who is a very well-respected former general, actually say that the reprinting of cartoons could mean that our troops in Afghanistan will be shot at more often. We've had our foreign minister mimic those words. I mean, this set off General McKenzie on one show saying, what the hell do people think the soldiers are there for? They're there to fight a war. They're going to be shot at anyway, and it's better to take the fight over there, because if we don't take the fight to them, we'll have the fight here.
Well, exactly. Burrell, hang on the line here for a second. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about all of this. Freedom of speech, the boundaries of it, Holocaust denial, where does it fit in some broader issues that I guess the David Irving case, the cartoon controversy, and others have put into the spotlight. Burrell Wiseman is with us. He's president of the Institute for Public Affairs of Montreal. It's Rob Breckenridge, The World Tonight. We're back after this.
The world can be a busy place, and we wrap it up for you every weeknight on The World Tonight with Rob Breckenridge on AM 770 CHQR.
Speaking with Burrell Wiseman, Institute for Public Affairs of Montreal, on issues of freedom of speech and where the boundaries are. And Burrell, on the point of Holocaust denial, it should be, and it is, easy to discredit these deniers. Why do we need to resort to the force of the law to do it?
We absolutely don't, and you brought up a very important point before the break about how far freedom of expression should go and how it affects our society, and I want to underline two very important points in this. As we're engaged in this global struggle against Islamist fascism, is what it is. Number one, the very woman who won the libel suit against David Irving, Professor Deborah Lipstadt, she's an American, she herself came out against his sentence because she said, I'm against censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Jonathan Romain, who's head of the Britain's Jewish Information Media Service, said, it is better to treat these people with disdain than imprisonment. In other words, let the battleground of ideas rest free. There can be no special status for any group. It is simply the freedom to exchange ideas. The second important point about all this is that the Islamists and many other groups, by the way, have claimed special status due to tragedies in their history. Well, there can be no special status in democracies. Democracies, by definition, put everybody on an equal footing. And you can't have this modern conception of group rights over individual rights, because had Germany enshrined the respect for the rights of its most vulnerable and unempowered individual citizens, and had that idea taken root, there wouldn't have been mass murders of Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and everybody else. The Soviet Union, on the other hand, whose constitution has great protections for group rights over the individual, and the breadth of those rights went as far as granting homelands to many groups, including Jews. But under Stalin, individual freedoms were so trampled that by the early 1950s, one in four adult males had spent time in prisons and gulags on trumped-up charges. So the group right argument over the individual right argument also falls. And we're playing right into the hands of the Islamists by treating so many things with political correctness. Britain, insanely, last week passed a law that bans the, quote, this is the word in the law, the glorification of terrorism. Glorification is not defined. So the question comes up. Britain has called the IRA a terrorist organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've just seen a best-selling biography, a new one of Michael Collins, the heroic IRA leader during and after the First World War period. Could somebody say that this book could now be outlawed because some group, or perhaps the British government itself, that labeled the IRA as terrorists, would feel that simply the telling of history is glorification? Are we going back to Fahrenheit 451, if you remember Ray Bradbury's book? There's enough self-censorship going around, hypocritical self-censorship. You know, the search engine company Google it censored itself to keep China happy, so the media attacked it. But the media, ironically, of course, these are the very same outlets that are attacking Google that censored themselves to keep Muslim critics happy by not reprinting the Muhammad cartoons.
Yes.
And one of the few papers that ran them, Philadelphia newspaper, the editor explained his decision very simply. He said, this is news. We're a newspaper. You know, what a novel concept, actually printing the news without fear. So all this political correctness, all this pandering to a thousand squabbling particularities, this is bringing Western liberalism down to very, very low limitation.
No, it is.
During Irving's trial, there was a horrible statement made by a respected German historian named Hajo Funke. He said, in Germany and Austria, we can't afford the luxury of the Anglo-Saxon tradition of freedom of speech. It's just not for us, not yet, not for a long time. Well, the truth is that the tradition he speaks of is being compromised every moment by mindsets like his, and the answer to him must be, and the answer comes down to us from Martin Luther King Jr., who warned us of ignoring the fierce urgency of now. Now is precisely the time when these freedoms must be exercised to the full in every country.
Let's talk about incitement here and when it becomes incitement, whether it's neo-Nazis or the president of Iran or other radical Islamists. It's no coincidence that those who deny the Holocaust believe that there ought to be another one. That you've never met a Holocaust denier who says, boy, thank God it didn't happen, because had it happened, it would have been a real tragedy. Those that deny it, paradoxically in some ways, seem to think that it should have happened and should happen again.
We can assume that, and it's probably a correct assumption. But until that person who denies the Holocaust goes as far as the president of Iran, who specifically called for the destruction of all Jews and the destruction of Israel, that's incitement to violence. He has to be allowed to have his say. If somebody wants to stand up and say, as Irving did 15 years ago, that only 30,000 Jews died in the Holocaust, that something was easily disproved,
mm-hmm.
You disprove it. He did not say, let's go out and kill more Jews, like the Iranian president did. The Iranian president is inciting to violence. And that is the one aspect of hate laws that, of course, all civilized nations have on their books, and all civilized nations must keep on their books. But that's it. You can't go further, because if you go further, then every single group will chip away at something. What's to stop Armenians, for example, from saying that any Turk who denies the Armenian genocide, and by the way, they may include the government of Canada, because the government of Canada hasn't had the guts to call the Armenian genocide a genocide, which it was, is somehow implicitly sending out a message that Armenian lives aren't valuable. You can't stretch every argument to the point where law becomes nothing more than a two-edged sword of craft and oppression and becomes a straitjacket where we have to look at everything we say, everything we think, who we talk to, how we talk to them. We've got laws up our kazoo. You know, you call up an elected official, which is your right as a citizen. Boom, you're a lobbyist simply for calling him up in some jurisdictions. It's madness. The political correctness doesn't work. And it's simply pandering by politicians so that they have some election fodder for the next time around. It's not right.
Burrow, we'll leave it there. These are important issues, and hopefully this is not the end of the debate by any stretch. We always do enjoy having you on, and we'll do so again in the future, Burrow. Thanks for this.
I always enjoy being on with you, Rob.
Appreciate it. Burrow Wiseman, President, Institute for Public Affairs of Montreal. We've got to take a break here. We'll come back, set up our next hour for you as well. It's The World Tonight. We're back after this.